Cardinals here. But I got to tell you two things that you need to know. It's pretty cool. Daniel just sent a tweet to me. Watch the Raiders trade up to number one.
Okay.
And I think he meant this, but in case he didn't, would that mean Mark Davis would actually be taking the Raiders and Kyler Murray from Oakland? I think that's what Daniel's hinting at.
You're so diabolical.
But man.
By the way, there's still a lot of rumors and rumblings that the Raiders do not like Derek Carr.
I believe it.
And they will go quarterback.
Granted, John Gruden acts like on the sideline he hates everybody. But there just seemed to be real detest in the look of John Gruden when he talked to Derek Carr about this.
I would not be surprised if Dwayne Haskins is there or if they feel like they have to make a move up. They have so many picks. Can they even utilize all their picks and have that many rookies on that roster? That is one of the first calls I would make, basically because Steve Keim has fleeced the Raiders more than once, so I would try that again.
I'm pretty much with you on that one.
They got to move Derek Carr before that, though, right?
I would think.
They got to move him.
I would think.
You're going to saw his legs off?
Yeah.
You're paying him all that money?
Since we're paying all this money, but we just hacked all these other contracts, let's draft the future and then have Derek do it one more year as you learn as a quarterback, Haskins or Kyler Murray or whoever.
And then he goes out there and actually plays well. Now you've got a problem.
Maybe. That's what happened with Drew Brees, remember? Because Drew Brees wasn't doing all that great with the Chargers. They drafted Phillip Rivers, and then Rivers had to sit forever because then Brees kind of took the hint and started doing great. So there's one little point there about the Raiders, which is kind of funny. Point number two, this is the beautiful, and Paul's going to rip this, is the beautiful part of the program where we're going to have Bruce Arians. The problem is, we thought we were doing the math for Bruce when Bruce didn't need the math done. As we asked Bruce, is it okay for you to join us at 9 o'clock? He said, yeah. We just thought he was in Tampa. So we said 9 o'clock, and he goes, okay, so Bruce Arians coming on at 9 o'clock. The catch was, we thought that meant 7 o'clock for us. No, Bruce is here right now. So to him, 9 o'clock meant 9 o'clock.
Oh my gosh.
Good morning, coach.
So we got Bruce Arians coming up at the actual 9 o'clock as far as mountain time is concerned, not 9 o'clock Eastern time, which would be right now.
That's all right. It's like Wolf on game day on the road. He always misses the team bus because he's messing up his time zone. So
you know what, Paulie, in the preseason, that's when it hits me. It really is in the preseason after all those trade. Oh, it's just brutal, right? How many coaches' meetings have I actually missed?
Need two hands to count
the
how many coaches
meetings.
Not two, Paul.
I don't know if you're going to have any production meetings with James Saxon, but that's the new running backs coach. It's weird. The Arizona Cardinals do not have an offensive coordinator, and I don't sense anybody panicking. And I'm wondering who wants it, because I could understand there's probably an OC that says, wait a minute, if things go well, Kingsbury gets the credit.
Right.
And if things don't go well, they're probably going to change me as the offensive coordinator. Yeah. So do I really want to jump on this opportunity? I still think it's going to be John DeFilippo, because I'm looking at John DeFilippo and saying, what other options do you have? The Packers option is now gone as Nathaniel Hackett got hired there, the Jacksonville Jaguars OC. And I don't feel like, oh no, we just lost Nathaniel Hackett. You know, I'm totally okay with that. But it seems like both a job where the Cardinals need somebody and DeFilippo needs a little bit of coaching rehab to go through. I think that's pretty important there. But this James Saxon hire, it is a weird thing. Sometimes you look at it and you say, okay, it's too good to be true. How does a guy that doesn't miss a beat when he loses Lev Bell not get re-signed by the organization he's on?
Yeah.
What is it that James Conner did that you want to say is not credited to James Saxon?
Or what's going on?
Saxon, not Tex.
What's going on in Pittsburgh, period? They just lost Mike Munchak, and he willingly went to Denver and said, you know what, I'll see you later. So they're losing quality assistant coaches on that staff. So I just think it makes you wonder, okay, internally, maybe it's more than just the Lev Bells and Antonio Browns of the world. There's some serious dysfunction going on internally with the Steelers, and guys are like, man, this is not trending in the right direction. I'm getting off this thing now.
As a former teammate, I completely Basinonians wanted to see Stump Mitchell actually hired as the running back coach for the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, a full disclosure right there, because of what he's already done with David Johnson. I thought he would have been a perfect fit here in Arizona. He did not want to come here. He actually got the title of run game coordinator in Cleveland, right? He went with Freddie Kitchens in Cleveland. He took that opportunity. This is a kick save and a beauty. This is huge. or to quote my brother Craig, he said, unbelievable. All right.
And to Paul's point, that's not going to be to lose Saxon anyway. And Munchak in the same week.
Yeah.
Unbelievable kick save and a beauty. James Saxon, 18 years of coaching in the NFL, 15 Pro Bowlers.
And remember what it was.
Think about that.
And you never revealed the source, but you said the positive comments that you got about Kugler, the new O-line coach,
right, Sean Kugler,
which was formerly with the Steelers at one point in his career. This was when Max Starks was still there, and yet he said that source said to you, "Okay, Kugler's not Munchak, but who is?
Who is?
Well, if you're rating Munchak that high, what is going on in Pittsburgh that you lose both of these guys? And congratulations, Cardinals, at being one of the teams to benefit from it.
Are you talking about Sean Kugler?
No, I'm talking about Munchak. If Munchak's that good, yeah. Basically stealing Paul's point and acting like it's mine.
Because Cougs went to coach his alma mater at UTEP, right? I mean,
correct.
You could understand being the head coach there. You could understand why you'd step away from that. But this is going to have a massive impact on David Johnson, Basinonians. That's the great thing about it. This guy can coach, flat out coach, James Saxon. And as I said, think about it, 15 Pro Bowlers.
What? And you know what?
Stunning.
And you know what? David Johnson needs a jump start. He needs a set of jumper cables right now. And then everyone needs to step back and yell, clear! And something needs to happen. Did they get return on investment in that $30 million contract?
Yeah.
Not totally.
No.
And it wasn't totally his fault.
Right.
We all get it. The offensive line, 7 guys on injury reserve. Everyone now, and they cut Andre Smith, and he was getting hit in the backfield. But there weren't nearly as many broken tackles.
There weren't
nearly as many yards after contact that we had seen in years prior with David Johnson.
That's a great point.
You know what is going to be incredible as well? James Saxon, here he is, this coach, right? When it's all said and done, I'm going to continue to say this over and over because I think this is really important to Dirty. I think it's important to David Johnson. When it's all said and done, guess what the number one question is going to be asked of James Saxon? Who was better? Lev Bell or David Johnson? You coached them both. Who was better?
I also wonder if James Saxon is looking and saying, I don't think Lev Bell's coming back.
Well, sure.
And I got David Johnson over here and an opportunity here. I mean, great job by the Cardinals of just making the call and saying, hey, look what we've got over here. We need somebody that's going to get – you're going to get all the credit. I mean, if David Johnson comes bouncing back, they will secretly fire Mike McCoy again, and then they will compliment everything about Saxon.
Let me tell you, somebody needs to check in with Big Ben right now. Make sure he's okay.
That's true.
Because a week ago, he was imploring the fan base to try and write letters to Steelers management to keep Mike Munchak. Well, you lost him. You lost Saxon. You're going to lose Lev Bell. Antonio Brown's probably on the way out. Big Ben's probably in a dark room right now muttering to himself, the horror, the horror.
Well, with James Saxon, of course, and Sean Kugler coming from the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, can you say power? Can you say power, ladies and gentlemen?
I don't know. Can we in this offense?
Can you say double? Here it comes.
You know, let's change
it. You're going to see double out the yin.
That's a good question.
There's two hashtags for 2019.
That's why they went out and got them.
Hashtag Harry and Larry and hashtag Power Raid.
Power Raid.
Come on.
You just.
Come on.
Doug, Power Raid.
Doug,
Power Raid.
It almost rhymes with a sports drink. So you can't, with electrolytes, you can't do that.
Yeah,
it's too
Power
close.
Power Raid.
No, you can't
come
do
on.
That. No, you'll get sued.
You like it and you know it.
No, it'll be trademark infringement.
Well, the power and the raid. I like the two words themselves.
No.
Dude, come on. There's no doubt about it. Power Raid.
I'll have a silver one. I like the silver, whatever flavor that is.
Mike Leach, do you think the Power Raid will work?
You know, I'm kind of curious myself.
Okay, no, all right.
That.
All right.
Love that.
No.
Coming up next, which rookie quarterback is in the best position heading into 2019? Rookie of 2018, second-year quarterback now. How are they going to do? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I think I got this right. Picks 1, 3, and 10 have different head coaches. Pick number 7 is actually having the same head coach. Probably started off the worst, ended as one of the better ones. And then the last of the quarterbacks taken, not remotely considered to be a starter at the beginning of the season. And now, barring injury, it's guaranteed you're the starter. What we do, what we've done every Tuesday or Wednesday throughout the NFL season is kind of had some fun with the great comment from Josh Rosen. At first, he said there were 9 mistakes made ahead of him. Then he recanted and said, no, there were only 3. The other 3 quarterbacks that were taken, Allen, Darnold, and Baker Mayfield ahead of him. And by nature, then, you have to always compare those 4 guys. But also throw in Lamar Jackson. The quarterback draft of 2018 will always be one that everybody gets measured against each other. Because you're judging the general managers. You're judging the individual players. Mm-hmm. And kind of by lot, you're judging them against other great quarterback drafts like Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning. And, of course, the crazy Dan Marino draft and how many people passed him up with Todd Blackledge being taken ahead of him and things like that. It's just a crazy quarterback draft last year. So what we do is we're always going to monitor, and this time it's the coaching version. Who's in the best situation now after a massive offseason change of coaches?
3 mistakes.
3 quarterbacks, that's kind of what gets to me. There are 3 big mistakes ahead of me.
Doug and Wolf's draft tracker of the 3 quarterbacks taken ahead of Josh Rosen.
Good morning. Let's start off at the top.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
Interesting that the 3 teams that were looking for a new coach did it, in a sense, 95-98% based on who they think fits with the quarterback.
Baker's a rookie. He still has a lot to learn in the National Football League, and Freddie's going to get him to that plateau. And along with a lot of other coaches on that staff, I think at the end of the day, when you make selections like this overarching organizationally, let senior management begin the process and continue the process and then give it to ownership, period.
Very. Although it was taken out of context right there. I don't like the fact he said he was to get to that plateau.
That is weird.
You hear people actually talk about that, right?
That there's a top shelf and we can't get above it?
Get to that plateau. Do you really want him to plateau at any point in time? That, again, don't know the context, in which he was speaking. But let me just say this. Baker Mayfield, I think, is in the best situation right now. He's number one for me because, obviously, of what he did with Freddie Kitchens and the fact Freddie Kitchens is now the head coach. He's going to be in the same offense. All they're going to do is actually expand that offense, build on that offense with the certain confidence that Baker Mayfield gained in not only Baker Mayfield, but his teammates gained in him. Watching Baker Mayfield go out and develop as a young quarterback, he's definitely number one.
And interestingly enough, supposedly one of the main things Freddie Kitchens wanted to bring wasn't more tight end, wasn't more runs, wasn't more this or that, X's and O's. It was bring back more swagger in Baker Mayfield, and he did it.
I want everybody to understand that I believe that they made the best decision. And I believe they made the best decision.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe that they believe they made the best decision right there.
In hiring him.
There were a couple of things that Freddie said made me laugh out loud. Love the guy. Absolutely love him. Hope that everything goes well for him. No doubt about that. But number two, who would be number two in the best situation of the 5 quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round? To me, it's Lamar Jackson.
Because now he's the guy?
Lamar Jackson is now the guy with the Baltimore Ravens.
The biggest thing that you needed to know about that Browns presser isn't what happened, it's what didn't happen. The owner did not sit up there on the press conference, and he was not a part of the coaching search other than being fully invested in knowing what's going on, but did not lead the coaching search. It was all John Dorsey. That is the scariest thing. That means the Browns are an actually real-life organization now in the NFL.
The New York Jets select Sam Darnold.
Same thing. Jets fired their head coach because they felt like they were losing and they needed to save Sam Darnold.
I mean, it's going to start with him. I mean, that's an obvious statement. And I'm excited because this is really the first time I've been able to get with a guy this young, this early in his career. You know, we're going into year 2. And, I mean, he's hungry for knowledge. He wants to be coached, which when you have a type of player that does have the physical traits, This is an exciting thing for me to go through.
Yeah, you know, I had Baker Mayfield number one in the best situation going forward, year 2 of their career. I had Lamar Jackson number 2, Josh Allen number 3, and Sam Darnold number 4. Mm. And it's because they're obviously going to be changing with Adam Gase now as their offensive coordinator and their head coach. They're going to be changing their offense, changing everything about it. Sam Darnold had some good games last year and had some bad games, up and down. But now he's going to be in a new offense, but he has done some things.
The highlight of the press conference in New York is everyone looking at Adam Gase and wondering what happened to him, as it looked like his eyelids were taped to the top of his forehead because his eyes were so wide. There's many memes out because of that.
The Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, the one guy we don't have anything to talk about. Josh Allen did not get beat up running the football, looked great running the football, and started to improve at the end of the year. And he's one of the few that there's not a massive story about going into 2019.
The Arizona Cardinals select Josh Rosen.
Well, now, you want to talk about a huge change in the NFL.
I think when you watch Josh, the talent, the arm talent jumps out, and that's what everybody says. And as a guy who studies quarterbacks, takes a lot of pride in that position, you see it. Not many guys can do what he does, get it out that quick, that type of smooth motion. And so that's exciting for a quarterback guy to have that type of talent to work with. And I think Josh is a very sharp guy. We just got to figure out what he does best, what he likes to do, and you know, build this offense around him and things that he does well.
Yeah, this is going to be fascinating to watch that actually evolve and unfold before our very eyes here. But again, Baker Mayfield, I think, is in the best situation of all those quarterbacks. Number one, Lamar Jackson. Number two, Josh Allen, because he's going to be in the same offense up there in Buffalo. Number three, Sam Darnold. Number four, and I think Josh Rosen, because 2 years, two offenses. And the fact that he struggled up and down as well, I think you have to rate him that way and do it fairly.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
How often do you lose a playoff game and then declare the rookie's the guy and the other guy's gone? That actually happened with John Harbaugh.
I mean, Lamar's our quarterback going forward. There's no question about that. Joe Flacco is going to play really well in this league. Joe can still play. I think we saw that the first half of the season. Joe's going to have a market. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want Joe.
I mean, you just lost. Guy's gone.
Right,
we knew
right.
It, yeah, but you normally wait a day before you say that.
Lamar Jackson going forward with that defense, he's in a good situation.
Did anybody notice that it's a Tuesday and we're in the 7:15 beautiful part of the program?
Ticket Window Tuesday opens now.
Call in quick in honor of the famous comments of Josh Rosen. Let's just do caller number three for three mistakes.
602-260-9870.
Right now, caller number three will win Ticket Window Tuesday presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. Today, what you get is a pair of two-day genuine general admission tickets to the Innings Festival. Eddie Vedder's going to be out there, Jimmy Eat World, and there's more at Tempe Beach Park. The event is March 2nd and 3rd. I haven't been to that yet, but I've heard it's a really cool event.
Really?
So a good day to win tickets. If you are not the third caller, keep listening at 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to be a winner. Wow. Could one of the greatest receivers of all time be leaving the NFC West and one of the better ones of the present time be entering the NFC West? And both moves would crush the Cardinals. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thanks for waking up with the two of us. It's Doug and Wolf, Cardinals sideline reporter Paul Calvisi here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You get a chance, listen in on the 9 o'clock hour. Bruce Arians, Bobby Hurley, both going to join us. Bruce Arians and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, the saving of Jameis Winston. And I want to ask him, what would he do for Josh Rosen? You know, what's he looking at for the Cardinals? And the fact maybe he might say, I don't want to answer that because we're playing the Cardinals this year. He doesn't want to help.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can get a little bit out of him. Let's talk receivers in this division. I saw an article on our own website, arizonasports.com, that made me feel pretty good about something. And the article was, it wasn't even the subject matter of the article. The article that's up is a pretty good look at all the work Steve Keim has ahead of him going into free agency and then going into the NFL draft and how both of those things work so closely together. And it was good. It was interesting to look at, okay, you've got this piece. Some of the stuff I think you knew as a fan, some of the stuff, oh, I didn't realize that guy's a free agent. Okay. But there was one phrase in there that I think all of us know, but as soon as I read it, just to let it wash over you for a second, it's painful. The number is 734. 734.
Yeah, okay.
That's the lowest total of yards gained in the history of Larry Fitzgerald's career. And it was last year.
Wow. Okay.
And
that's believable, isn't it?
And if you just want to think about it, don't forget. If you want to be reminded why this guy is a Hall of Famer, here's the famous list. Every American that has thrown a football at Larry Fitzgerald in a game. Mike Glennon, Kurt Warner, Carson Palmer, Blaine Gabbert, Sam Bradford, Josh Rosen, Josh McCown, Sean King, John Navard, Brian St-Pierre, Matt Leinart, Tim Rattay, Derek Anderson, Max Hall, John Skelton, Rich Bartell, Kevin Cobb, Ryan Lindley, Brian Hoyer, Drew Stanton.
20, right? It's 20, yeah. Isn't it? It's 20 different quarterbacks. Yes.
And I might have even missed one. So with that list of people, and the guy is still putting up numbers, and yet it took Mike McCoy, Byron Leftwich, Josh Rosen, and Sam Bradford. I'm not going to blame Mike Glennon. Yeah. To put forth the worst season in the history of Larry Fitzgerald. I'm pretty confident he comes back. You know, does he with this offense and that number, doesn't he have to? I got to get that taste out of my mouth on the way out the door.
3 years prior, he had 100 catches plus each of the three seasons prior. Yeah.
And he's probably going back in the slot where he probably doesn't like because he has to block, but he knows it's where he belongs.
In 2017, he had 109 receptions, which matched a career high. So did he fall off the cliff or did the Cardinals offense fall off the cliff?
Probably, honestly.
Obviously, the numbers say the Cardinals offense did. I don't think you can extrapolate and make the same conclusion about Larry.
Paulie, you're one of the guys creeping around the shadows of the PR office over there in Tempe. Are you not, Paulie? You're one of those guys creeping around the shadows of the PR office.
Stop it with a surreptitious stealth
BS. I'm just saying, Paulie, are there any records that you think Larry Fitzgerald would covet that he'd like to see fall next year, right?
Mm.
Are there any attainable records that maybe he's looking at right here?
Most receptions in a Super Bowl?
Absolutely. That'd be one of them right there. But
does he want to pass Tony Gonzalez, number two in receptions all time?
Abs
a stinking lootly, and he needs about two dozen catches or so, somewhere in the 25 to 30 range.
Ooh, ding, 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 ding,
absolutely.
Ding,
would he want to be number two all time to Jerry Rice in virtually every category?
That counts as number one for human beings.
Yes, he would. He's a historian of the game. You
got
to remember, he grew up with his dad covering games and him reading media guides and NFL history books.
Yes.
He knows the stats of the game. Mm-hmm. He is a historian.
That
so he knows
right
his
there.
Place in it.
That between that stat and Cliff Kingsbury, I think he comes back.
I do too. I just reading that and realizing just how bad it was and having that hit you in the face. Join Burns and Gambo this Thursday. They're broadcasting live from the 48th annual Barrett Jackson Collector Car Auction at Westworld of Scottsdale. You can check out more 1,700 rare and exotic cars up for auction, eat and drink from the 40-plus vendors on site, and much, much more. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for details and info on tickets.
49ers.
Oh, how about that? Paul will now explain, speaking of Jerry Rice, what's going on in the Bay Area as Jerry Rice was on 95.7 FM The Game and asked if it's true. His talk with Antonio Brown, does he want out of Pittsburgh and into the NFC West?
Do you get the sense that he would like to play for the 49ers?
Yeah, he wants to come here really bad. He's talking about running the hill with me, doing all that, and just working out, you know, just picking my brain.
Paul, make it stop.
Okay,
first of all,
Jerry isn't still running the hill, is he? The infamous hill, Walter Payton. There's no way Jerry's still running the hill.
I believe he's running the hill.
Come on.
I believe he's still running the hill. Now, I don't think he does it daily, but I believe he still runs the hill.
So if you bring in Antonio Brown,
I bet Jerry Rice still thinks he could play a couple games.
And you already have Marquise Goodwin, world-class speed, and you brought in Antonio Brown. And we know they have the tight end who just broke a bunch of records this
Kittle.
Year. Right? I mean, George Kittle. The last thing you want Kyle Shanahan to have are all-pro caliber weapons in that offense.
Yeah.
That's a concern. There's no doubt. If AB's on the radar and coming to the Niners, who have plenty of cap room and plenty of other capital to trade the Steelers, if that's what it takes, that's a concern.
You know what's so intriguing about this, Basinonians? Listen to who's saying that right there. That was Jerry Rice. Was it not Jerry Rice?
That was Jerry Rice.
You were actually playing Jerry Rice.
I hit play where it said
that
Jerry Rice.
That was Jerry Rice. Is Jerry Rice, where does Larry Fitzgerald actually fall in terms of all-time receptions, yardage to Jerry Rice?
Almost always second.
Almost always second. And almost every major metric there is, right? Jerry Rice and Larry Fitzgerald are very, very similar people, ladies and gentlemen. They are.
Really?
Yes. If you were going to bring Antonio Brown into the organization, you would need a guy like Jerry Rice to mentor him and Larry Fitzgerald to mentor him.
So you're saying Larry...
I'm going to let it hang.
So you're saying Larry's going to the Niners. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, my goodness, could you possibly see that? Could you see Antonio Brown walking into the locker room and deferring to Larry Fitzgerald? That's a question I ask, because the only way you're going to bring him into the 49ers locker room is if Jerry Rice is involved, and he's deferring to Jerry.
Logic and reason would say yes, he would defer to Larry Fitzgerald, but here's a guy who shows up every year to Steelers training camp in some like $500,000 Bentley and or a helicopter. I mean, here's
if
a guy.
If Jerry Rice isn't involved, John Lynch will not sign him.
Well, but how, on a daily basis, you're saying Jerry Rice is going to babysit Antonio Brown? If that's the deal breaker?
Not on a daily basis, no.
That would make me very uncomfortable. If Jerry Rice would have to be the supervisor and parental guardian for a 31-year-old Antonio Brown, then I'm not bringing him in because I can't trust him.
If he's got a great relationship with him.
Especially at $20 million a year for Antonio Brown, and he needs a professional babysitter at 31 years of age, I'm sorry, I'm out.
Okay, well, why would you consider bringing Antonio Brown in at all then?
I think he needs a babysitter. I think that's already been proven. Now the question is, which teams have one? And Larry Fitzgerald and Jerry Rice fit the bill. I'm also looking at Jimmy G, and I would say if I'm the 49ers, I would rather risk Antonio Brown with a Jimmy G. Not that he's established, but he's older, versus second-year quarterback Josh Rosen. That would make me nervous, unless Larry Fitzgerald's talked to AB and signed off on it. The one good thing about this, only the Steelers are in charge of this. I mean, he can wish all he wants, but it's a trade. He's not becoming a free agent. But to your point, Paul, the cap space, they would have that cap space to be able to get it done. Yeah. It's 7:40, and it's a Tuesday. What does that mean for the Doug and Wolf Show? That means character counts. It's brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical, where we take a minute and highlight a student in our area that has been nominated for a potential $10,000 scholarship. Doesn't mean that she won it, but she's been nominated. Congratulations to Patrice Garner. You are not the typical high school senior. She says that when she arrives at Westview High School every morning at 7, she hopes to get out by 7 o'clock in the evening. Not only does she run 4 events in track, but she's also been the film technology manager for the football team for the last 2 years, and she's an honor student. And now with football being over, she's decided that she's going to do the same thing for the wrestling team because she wants to volunteer her time as much as possible. Then what sets her apart from high schoolers devoting already 11 hours a day at school is that she is not receiving any school or college credit for it in return, and she doesn't even care. And she also worked at Harkins Theaters during the summer and would even Uber from work to football practice just because she loved it so much. And then before she leaves for college, she has one more track season left, and she cannot wait for the upcoming season. And oh, by the way, she's studying to become a sports medicine physician, and she's already been accepted to, well, you can do better than this, Patrice, West Virginia, and is waiting to hear back from ASU, GCU, and Oregon State.
Yeah, baby! Patrice, that's what I'm talking about. We are the Wu-Fang Clan. We stand at the ready for you, young lady.
For someone who's been able to give so much, nice to hear she might get something significant.
That's true.
As for the West Virginia thing, let's have a little talk, young lady.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Well,
absolutely,
done.
Patrice. If you know a local high school student athlete who knows great, who shows great character on and off the field, just text the word character to 620-620, and they could possibly be involved in the running for a $10,000 scholarship thanks to Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. If you want more info, just go to charactercountsaz.com. And thanks to Parker & Sons for providing the $10,000 scholarship. We're going to be giving that away at the end of February. So hurry up if you have any more nominations. Coming up next, are the Suns starting to form an identity? Wolf asked the head coach that exact question. Igor Kokoschkov next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Phoenix Suns head coach Igor Kokoschkov joins Doug and Wolf to talk Suns basketball. Presented by National Bank of Arizona, the only bank you need. And brought to you by Coors Light. Now,
Igor Kokoschkov has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. The head coach of the Phoenix Suns joins us every Tuesday in the 750 beautiful part of the program. Igor, I just looked it up. Highs today of 30, that's the high of 30 degrees in Indianapolis. How you doing this morning?
We're doing very well. Thanks for asking. You know, we're here for work. We're not here for vacation, so it doesn't really affect us at all. Ready to go to the gym, and we have a morning practice. We have a shoot around this morning, and then focus on a game tonight. But you know, it's pretty cold. Just not a reason to enjoy more our city and the state of Arizona.
So, Igor, Devin Booker is a go tonight. Bring us up on his latest status. Will his minutes be limited in any way, shape, or form?
Well, he practiced yesterday. He looked good. He feels very well. Me personally, as a coach, and us as a staff, I mean, we don't control their limited minutes. We don't use that in our vocabulary when it comes to the limited minutes. But if it comes from the training staff and somebody who obviously those guys, they know better, you know, bodies and a medical part of the situation. So for right now, I don't have information that we're gonna limit his minutes. So I assume he's going to be available. He's going to play tonight, and we'll go from there.
Do you think I can't prove this, but I'm kind of looking at it as a theory. Do you think when Devin Booker plays, there's a tiny bit of relaxation from the other guys? And I don't mean that in a positive way, that, hey, I know how good D-Book is, so he can kind of carry us. Because I thought when you guys played Denver, man, did the ball move offensively? There was great defensive intensity. It was almost as if the guys are saying, we don't want to get embarrassed without D-Book. And I want them to play with that same desperation with Devin Booker. Do you think they relax a little bit with D-Book out there?
I mean, you know, one player on the court changes dynamic on the court, and obviously Devin Booker is our best player and such a, you know, unique offensive weapon. Obviously, when he's on the court, he demands the ball because he's capable of scoring and he's a willing passer. So things changing on the court, but we shouldn't change the style of basketball that we want to play, playing unselfishly, playing connected as a group. So I know Book is willing to make a right play. Obviously, he's capable, score one of the best weapons in the league. But again, playing right way means, you know, whatever game, whatever team allows you to do. If that's a wide open shot to take, and if somebody's available, move the ball. So I don't think that we're going to change that, and that's something that we're preaching, that we believe as a group. But on the flip side, again, when somebody like Book is on the court, that type of the player, he demands certain things, and it's a two-way street.
So, Igor, when you have won games this year, have there been common denominators, whether Devin Booker played or not? When you do win games, has there been any common denominators?
It's. When you win a game, that proves that you're doing something right, you know. And when you lose a game, you're questioning everything. I think that we have to believe in what we're doing as a group and what we're preaching. We feel that it's a team effort, completely team effort, and team win. So I think that what we're doing right now as a group and winning. In game like we did a couple nights ago against Denver, who is a pretty, pretty good team. Mm-hmm. It just proves that we're going in a good direction as a group. So I wouldn't necessarily pick the guy or the name. You know, we feel that it was a collective effort on both sides of the court.
You've now been the coach of DeAndre Ayton for a while. Are you starting to figure out, and this is a pregame question, when you're going to see what you saw against Denver? I mean, I don't know if that was his best game, but it was pretty darn close. He was so fantastic, mentally engaged defensively on almost every play. You got so much out of DeAndre Ayton. Can you start to read him and know when you're going to get that before game, and more importantly, when you're not going to get it, or do you more figure it out during the game?
Well, I would say during the game, but, you know, I always tell my rookies, my young players, and that's what Ayton is. I told him several times that you control your scouting report. Scouting report on you has been written right now and correct, you know, in adjustment right now. So wherever, however you want teams to see you, you control that. You want them to see you as a high energy guy and a defensive anchor, always consistent, always active, and the rim protector, and runs the floor well, and sets a good screen, and finishes on the. You control that. So. And you control if they're going to put you inconsistent and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's really up to him. And not just in this case, we talk about Ayton, but young player controls his scouting report. And he should do what he's doing right now and decide who he wants to be and how people in perception and how people should see him and read him in this league.
Igor, as a team, collectively as a team, is it easier to be more consistent on the defensive end of the floor or the offensive end of the floor? What's easier?
Well, you know, we always saying that the effort controls defense and playing hard offensively. Offense is more complex in a way that a lot of times you make a good, you know, good play and there is a ball movement, there is accurate passes and you miss that open look and then everything looks bad. So, you know, from that point of view, you know, like there's a lot of things that you don't control offensively. You control shot selection, but you don't control. You don't shoot a ball to miss it. And a lot of times if you don't make shots, then look that your offense is not efficient. But I still believe that, you know, defense and that, you know, effort is a big part of defense. Defense wins the games. And fortunately or unfortunately, you know, offense wins the championship, so you have to score. You have to score to win the championship.
Igor, good to talk to you. Congratulations on that great win against Denver. Good luck tonight.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Coach.
That's Igor Kokoschkov joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter on Camelback.com, CoulterNissan.com, or CoulterTempe.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Again, the game tonight is early, so it's on ESPN 620 AM. Alan Tim will have the play-by-play for you, and the tip-off will be at 5 o'clock. Coming up next, what kind of impact will James Saxon have on David Johnson and Mike Leach? Is doing something he's never done. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.